It is a scam when you don't allow everyone to operate on fair terms.
We are the Robin Hoods of sports betting. We take something back from the rich bookies and enable our customers to beat them instead.
G'day everyone, welcome along to episode one of Sunday Streams. Very exciting new concept that I thought up last couple of weeks, and I think I think it'll be fun. Try and make this a bit more consistent. Do this every single Sunday night for you guys. In terms of what I want it to be like, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that it's just going to be consistent every Sunday night. Whether it's just me, what I talk about, it's going to be all over the place, I reckon. But I want it to kind of be that way, so it's not the same old stuff every Sunday night. So my number one goal is to make this as interactive as possible, so you guys can, you know, ask me questions all the time, whatever you want, anything about TradeMate, any questions that you might have, I mean, betting related maybe. Anything really. And then after all, that can go throughout the whole live stream. And then I guess at the start, I can go through my recent results if you guys like with TradeMate. That's what I'll do straight away in a couple of minutes. So can go through any betting strategies I've been trying lately, any ones that people have talked to me about, just things that I guess that pop up during my mind every week at work and using TradeMate and just betting myself. So I want to be able to have discussions about them and the positives and negatives and, you know, all those kind of things. The other thing, which I'm excited about, is I would love to get to the situation where I could have a guest on the show every week, or at least regularly, like every second week. So I know next week, got some exciting news that we're going to have a member from the other side of the fence come onto the show. So that'll be fun. So if you guys are aware of a certain soft bookmaker, they're called Parry Match. I think they're quite big in, they might be quite big in Spain. I'm not too sure, but we'll get to, anyway, so their chief marketing officer is going to come on the show next Sunday. So that'll be lots of fun. So that'll give you guys an opportunity to ask, you know, a soft bookmaker some questions that you want answered. I'll definitely have some questions for him too. So definitely tune in for that next week. But yeah, I want to have that kind of situation most weeks where, you know, maybe it's just a bit of me and then also having someone else on top to have a chat to about all kinds of topics. And of course you guys can send your stuff in too. So already got some people saying g'day Daniel, how are you, mate? As I said, also answer all your questions that you guys have got coming through. And if you can't make it, for the live stream every week, just send through your questions to my Twitter. So if you go on Twitter at @AlexVella_, so Alex Vella, VELLA _, you can message me there, send me a DM, and I will make sure to answer your question throughout the live stream. And welcome along to all the people just viewing on the replay. It's good to have you along, and hopefully one day you can catch me live, but no problems at all. We've already got a question come through. Mr. Handsome, he said, can you send me some NBA tips tonight? Sorry, mate, I don't really watch the NBA, so you don't want tips from me at all. But what I'm going to do is, if you are viewing on YouTube and Twitch, it's all good. Just hang around there. But if you are viewing on Facebook and I don't even know how to get this to work, so don't worry about it. If you're on Facebook and Twitter, you can stay on board. I was going to turn that off, but I don't know how to use this software all that well. So we might as well get straight into it, and I'll answer some of your questions before I move on. So possible to benchmark other bookmakers than Pinnacle? Yes, Yeah, inside our software, if you have TradeMate Pro, you can go into, I can show you exactly how it works. One moment, I'll just share my screen with you guys. Okay, so let's just say this was your preset. You go into Sharp Settings up here, and yeah, you can change the benchmark. So let's just say you thought you wanted to benchmark Betfair, or yeah, let's just say Betfair, for example. You can then choose what type of odds you want to use. So let's just say you reckon Asian handicap, they're good for that, blah, blah, blah. Then you can do that. And then you can have a full back bookmaker. So let's just say you don't, Betfair don't have the odds for something, then you can use Matchbook as a fullback bookmaker. And then you can just add this rule to the preset for everything. So let's just say, but you think, 1x2, I still want to use Pinnacle, then you can do that. Use Smarkets as a fullback. So there you go. So yeah, you can do that with TradeMate Pro though. So yeah. That's just with TradeMate Pro. Would you do a video on the Martingale system and why it doesn't work? Yeah, I mean, one day I could, more than happy to. But for now, I guess you can read this article that we wrote a couple of months ago. And I can send that through. And I mean, this is a good way of finding out why it's a bad strategy too. If you just read this article, I'll just get the link here for you and I'll send it through in the chat. There you go, gambling fan. What do you think of the preseason games like MLB or in general? Do you get limited faster? What do you think? Oh, I'm not too sure, mate. I mean, I haven't been betting them at all. The preseason game, I assume they're probably under non-recommended leagues or all leagues. So I would assume that, yeah, you would think so, that you're more likely to get limited betting on those kind of games, especially if you're not in America or in North America. Generally you have to think about from their point of view, the bookmaker's point of view, like what's going to look like non-suspicious behavior. And it's going to look non-suspicious if you're from America and you're betting into something like the MLB, because if you live in America, it makes more sense that you're a fan of the MLB and you want to bet on the preseason stuff. So, that would be, I don't know, maybe you won't, maybe you will. I mean, if you're going to bet anything preseason or trial match or something like that, then, a big league like the MLB is maybe the way to go. But yeah, you would. I mean, it's definitely going to get you limited faster than you would if you were betting MLB during the season. So, yeah, that would be my thoughts. Shane says, evening all from Dublin. How are you, Shane? Good to have you along, mate. Frederick Olofsson, sorry, mate, if I've completely botched that, says, any bookmakers that are not short, sharp bookmakers? Yeah, that's basically everyone except for Pinnacle. And there's a few others. There's one called Top Sport in Australia. They're a sharp bookmaker. Basically, if you hear about a bookmaker, mate, they are most likely 99% of the time going to be a soft bookmaker. Oh, sorry. I've just seen your next question. Benchmarking soft bookmakers. At the moment, we don't see any point in putting in any soft bookmakers as benchmarking options, because we just don't believe there are any that are sharper than Pinnacle at the moment. I mean, we look through all of our data and there's just, we beat all the soft bookmakers. So it's like, it's very hard for us to, see a reason to be using them. And the other thing is you've got to have the right modeling techniques in place to be able to remove their margin too. So not a great question for me, more so one for Marius. And one thing I'd love to do is have Marius along for the stream one time. If for those who don't know, Marius is the CEO of TradeMate Sports. So these kind of questions, he can definitely answer a lot better than me. Brian Wang says, I found not withdrawing really helpful for not getting limited. Mate, couldn't agree more. I never withdraw unless... So we had a guy write an article for us who works for a bookmaker, and he said the only time you should ever withdraw is like after one day. If you've bet one, if let's just say you open a brand new Bet365 account today, you place one bet and you win, then it doesn't look that suspicious if you withdraw straight away, because you kind of look like someone who's just placed their first bet ever and gone, oh yeah, I'm going to withdraw that money, and you take that money. And then when you put money back in, then you can kind of put like a similar amount of money back in that's like basically your winnings, putting that back in. But if you're going to withdraw, do it like in that. I wouldn't do it at all, but if you are going to do it, I would say do it after like one bet that you've won. So then you'll look like someone that's, got a bit excited after their first win and thought, oh, quickly withdraw the money, blah, blah, blah. Gambling fan says, will yous be discussing NRL rugby anytime? Yeah, well, we have rugby league in the software, mate. So definitely, we give value tips there, but I'm more than happy to talk NRL rugby anytime. That's my favorite sport in the world. So anytime you've got any questions for that, I'm more than happy to answer. I'm not sure any of the viewers here or the other rest of the viewers are interested. But I can make it a quick answer. But yeah, rugby league starts this week and get excited. And gambling fan, Monday European time at like 3 or 4 o'clock, we're releasing a new podcast with a professional gambler who just bets rugby league, or doesn't just bet rugby league, but he bets NRL. So you'll find that very interesting, mate. So tune in for that. Lots of questions here, guys. Loving it. I was going to get to my results, but you guys are just firing them in. Cool bet sharper than Pinnacle? No. Cool bet, I don't know what sports, if it's all sports, but Coolbet started copying Pinnacle's odds like maybe a year ago, I would say. They implemented that about a year ago. So they've basically copied Pinnacle's I know they definitely copy their football odds. Maybe it's not like exactly the same, and then they just stick their margin on it. So, I mean, I would definitely not be following them for sharp stuff, considering that they're basing their odds on Pinnacle's. That kind of shows that they're probably not that confident in their prices at all. So, that kind of answers your question. One issue, the rise of match betting, this is from Shane. One issue is the rise of matched betting, which will create red flags automatically when opening new accounts. This can be promotions for old school punters who don't abuse bonus signups. I'm not quite sure if you had a question here, mate, but I mean, yeah, I guess that's a good point, isn't it? Yeah. No, you're talking about the withdrawing. So yeah, if you've come in, place one big bet and it wins and it looks like, but the thing is, with match betting, most of the time you have to turn it over. So you couldn't withdraw your money anyway. So, yeah. Sev TRD says, I think the next season will be way better for profits than last COVID-19. Yeah, we'll have bigger offer, less postponed games. And I agree, Sev. If you look at it theoretically, this should be the worst, I think, this should be the worst TradeMate should ever perform, because the market has been flipped on its head with all sorts of new sorts of happenings, events, these kind of things. Like there's no crowds. There's a massively heightened schedule. So all these like different variables are making things crazier, which means that the market, you would think, shouldn't be as efficient, not 100% efficient at least. So TradeMate, we rely on the market to be efficient, which it is, which it 100% is. And we can see that even though, like, you know, COVID's been going on for a year now, TradeMate's customers have made millions of dollars. But that could have been maybe even more if COVID wasn't happening. So, yeah, I agree, Sev, that when the pandemic's over and when we're back to normal times, then TradeMate should excel even further. Like, I mean, looking at our last 2 months, so yeah, January and February results on soccer recommended leagues, for us to be in the negative, were we in the negative? No, we were only in the negative for February. Like, that's unheard of for us. So that just shows kind of, how non-efficient the market is at the moment. And I believe that this should be the worst. And I mean, I think looking at our results for February, our ROI overall was 1.7%. So considering this should be the worst time, and in my opinion, this should be the worst time to use TradeMate, because the market's all over the place at the moment. They're pretty darn good results. I'm going to botch so many of these names, but Jones, Johannes, well, I have no idea. How can you use call with bookmakers in the long run? Because already limited with 5 bookies. Yeah, mate, you've just got to, the obvious one is that you use your friend's accounts or someone's accounts. Say that very quietly. That's the obvious one. But yeah, it's just something that you've got to, it's just part of the game, mate. And hopefully you come from a region where you can get support from a lot of bookmakers, or that you can use a lot of the bookmakers that we use. So let's, hopefully you got a few more of them to get through and follow our guides on how to not get limited, and which I'll go through today too. I've got a good strategy for you guys to try and help yourself not get limited. Daniel, these are just coming thick and fast. In my results, a lot of the same teams, win you money in rugby recommended leagues, that is. Yeah, I mean, rugby league's quite interesting at the moment, because they just changed the rules about a year ago. So what it does is it makes the team, essentially, putting it simply, is that the very good teams are finding it a lot easier to win games, because the games have been sped up to the point now where kind of unlucky, you know, crazy results don't happen too often, because the superior team just has more opportunities to win the game. So maybe that's why you're betting on the good teams or the more superior teams most of the time. And they're not letting you down. Would you discuss boxing or snooker at the channel at some point, or try to and get a boxing or snooker sports better on for an episode? I'm more than happy to get someone on for an episode of the podcast, of course. If you send me some names, I can look them up and see what they're like. But I can't discuss any of that. I don't watch any. I only watch boxing when it's a massive fight. So, yeah. Shane's back. Theory question. Is it possible to build a betting bankroll by only betting anti-post outright futures throughout a sports calendar year rather than single games week in, week out? Well, definitely. I mean, build a betting bankroll. If that's your main concern, then definitely. I mean, if you're doing it as a professional, I wouldn't think so, because you essentially have to wait a whole year to make money. If you're building a betting bankroll, then why not? I mean, it's going to take you a while to build that betting, or maybe it takes 1 year if you just have a good year. That's a viable strategy, Shane. And if you want to find value anywhere, anti-post markets would have to be the way to go, because no one really wants to bet them because your money's tied up for so long. So if you find the right anti-post market or the right bet, you're most likely going to be finding value. But how much do you value having to wait a long time? So yeah, no, great point, Shane. And I remember I placed all my anti-post bets in, you know, September, October, whenever the season started. And it's exciting now, isn't it? Like 6 months later when they're all kind of, you know, you're finding out what's actually happened towards the end of the season and now you're starting to follow those bets. I kind of forgot about them for a bit and now it's like, oh, I could, you know, win some serious money in the next couple of months if one of those get up, or two of them, three, whatever. Game Razor 11. Sorry, guys, just finishing off my morning coffee. It's 6:20 in the morning here, so I'm waking up. Hi, if I started with an existing bankroll and then want to add to it to increase my stakes, do I just edit the bankroll funds section and that will be automatically taken into account? No, mate, you don't have to. Just whatever your starting bankroll is. So say you started with $5,000, put that into your TradeMate balance, and then from there, you don't have to do a thing. So if you win money, your balance will go up. If you lose money, it'll go down. Yeah, you don't have to do an absolute thing, mate. If you want to add funds, or maybe that was your question. Yeah, oh, sorry, mate. Yeah, that was your question. I'm such an idiot. Yeah, so I will share my screen. If you then wanted to, let's just say you wanted to add a few funds, you would go, let's just say Unibet or BetVictor, whatever. You just go in there, delete, and add on top of that what your deposit was, and click the tick button. Got a question on Twitch. How good's this? Got some Twitch viewers. This is what we want. What your best tips for someone who's pretty new to betting and place small value bets on football? If you place value bets, mate, just keep turning over, keep placing trades. More trades equals more money, in my opinion, if you're placing value bets. So that would be my biggest tip. Ignore variance. Fucking hard to do, but ignore variance and just keep placing those bets. And eventually you're gonna win money. And if you, it depends what you mean by value bets. Like, in our opinion, value bets, or in most people's opinion, value bets means beating the market. So beating the closing line. So I think the best closing line in general to follow is Pinnacle Sports. So if you're beating the VIG free or margin free Pinnacle Sports closing line, then you'll win long term. So that's what we would consider a value bet is. So, oh, you're saying on football. Yeah. So definitely if you beat Pinnacle Sports closing line long term, you will win money. Marcine, just call you Marcine, mate. Which bookmaker offers the opportunity to play for the highest stakes and does not limit players in the UK? Well, mate, I've never bet from the UK, but I've used a few UK bookies. Who has let me bet the most? Definitely not Unibet. Definitely not Marathon, from what I've heard from a lot of people. I don't know. Comment. Why don't we get some comments in here? Because I can't really tell. I'm not really the best person to ask. But from my opinion, maybe the UK bookie that's let me get on the most, maybe BetVictor. But I don't think that's probably the correct answer either. Yeah. Bet365 maybe. Let's get some answers in the comments for you, mate. Jonas is back. Yield Pro version long run lesser than 3%. Yeah, from people that it's hard to tell. If you use TradeMate Pro with very little research, you put very little effort in, then 100%. Your ROI would be less than 3%, 100%. But if you put effort in, if you do your research, if you know the betting game very well, can you get more than 3%? Maybe. Maybe. If not close to it. But that's up to you. Because we don't want to be giving away tips for TradeMate Pro, like best presets and stuff like that. Because that's not fair to the people that have been using it for years and making a living off it, essentially. When it gets to the point where you're trading on the exchanges and the sharps, we're talking about people's, like, this is like their unlimited lifetime income. So, I mean, it would be very rude for us to go into people's accounts and go, oh, this guy's using TradeMate Pro. He's using these presets. Let's show, and he's profitable. Let's show the world these presets. That would be very unfair. So, yeah, possibly, mate, possibly. Possibly. Let's finish with that. These questions are ridiculous. Love it. Do you make money from betting on any sports yourself? I only seem to be winning at horse racing at the moment. From Gambling Fan. Yeah, so I use TradeMate, which I'll show you in a moment. I am making money with TradeMate Sports. And I also do betting on the side. So I follow a few tipsters. I also just do betting off my own opinion. I do live betting MMA. I do, what other things do I do? You know, a bit of match betting here and there, bit of arbing, which I'll get to later. So yeah, mate, in terms of like betting on my own opinion, it's very rare, maybe like one or two bets a week, because I don't back myself. I don't do enough research and, to be able to do that kind of stuff yet. But yeah, 100%. Outside of TradeMate, or in TradeMate, I'm betting on just about every sport on the planet. But in terms of outside of TradeMate, I am betting on MMA, rugby, soccer, golf, esports. Yeah, I think that's about it. Sev says, this weekend has been profitable for me, but I only slept 5 hours per day. Gotta love those zero calories. Oh, mate, that's a tough, tough life. Tough life. I'm not really into the old energy drinks, so I couldn't tell you much about them. But five, mate, you got to get that up to 8 hours. Sleep's important. Game Razor says, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I can't even remember. Oh, yeah, you asked about the to add funds. Yeah, no worries, mate. Daniel Game Chill Gaming, sorry. I checked TradeMate on Soccer 1x2 1 year before COVID and 1 year after. Average ROI before COVID was 5.1. And after, it's been 1.8%. Yeah, oh, it sounds about right, Daniel. That sounds probably pretty accurate, which just shows how unpredictable the market's been lately. So, but like I said, I still think 1.8% ROI for the most unpredictable time you'll probably ever use TradeMate. That's pretty bloody good. Game Razor says, amazing, mate. Thank you. No worries, mate. Shane, are you betting full-time yourself or offset it as a digital market content creator for TradeMate? Yeah, so my full-time job is content creator, marketing manager for TradeMate. And then, yeah, I'm betting using TradeMate every day, betting myself on other markets, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, every day. So there, yeah, TradeMate's kind of my side income. And yeah, so I still work. This is a full-time job for me working for TradeMate. Good question, Shane. Shane says, again, UK bet limits, Betfair Exchange allows as much as you want as it's peer-to-peer. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. I guess I thought the question was about soft bookmakers, but yeah, if you're talking about best UK bookmakers or exchanges platforms, then to make unlimited money, then yeah, Betfair would be. Ollie the Dead Mitch. I wonder it. Oh, I'm not going to ask. Do you use statistics to find value bets? No, mate. I use TradeMate Sports to find value bets. If I'm just betting myself and not using TradeMate Sports to find value bets, then it would mostly be because of my thoughts on the market. But it takes experience. It takes really knowing a sport very well and knowing where the odds are and where you think they will get to be able to predict those things. So when you say, do I use statistics to find value bets? I don't. I understand that people will. But the thing is that nowadays, let's just use soccer for an example. Arsenal are playing Tottenham next weekend. So they'll release those prices maybe 2 weeks before. Let's just say they release Arsenal versus Tottenham odds right now. Those odds will be completely based around based on underlying metrics like XG, all this kind of stuff, all the statistics in the world. So for you to say at that point, I am going to back Arsenal or Tottenham based on statistics doesn't really make much sense because all those statistics are factored into the odds already. So it's like saying, we know Harry Kane's, I know he's playing, or I think he is. Harry Kane's not playing for Tottenham next weekend. And they've just put out the odds on Tottenham and they're at 2 in odds, let's just say. And Harry Kane's not playing. The bookmakers already know that Harry Kane's not playing. So that price of 2 has been created because Harry Kane's not playing. Do you get what I mean? So it's the same thing with statistics. You can't use a statistic and say, oh, I'm going to back Tottenham because of this statistic, because that's already factored into the odds. And it's the same with, I mean, if you go onto a bookmaker's website nowadays, they all show statistics. Why do you think they show statistics? Why do you think they want to show you Tottenham's shot accuracy or Tottenham's what's a good statistic, possession, whatever statistics they're showing, there's a reason they're showing you those. It's because it's already factored into the odds for one, and two, they want you to use that to try and base an opinion off what's already factored into the odds. I hope this kind of makes sense, but doesn't mean you can't use statistics, but for me, pre-match betting, I don't think it doesn't get you too far nowadays. Not anymore. Tom Payne, would you do a podcast episode with Big Nigel Seeley? I mean, we get him on every week. So, I mean, originally we were going to get Nigel on for just an individual episode, just to talk to him for the first time ages ago. But that didn't work out. And then after Haru pulled out of the podcast, then I asked him if he wanted to just come on as a weekly guest on the preview show. So yeah, maybe one day we can get him on, Tom. So much talking. Gambling Fan says, any apps or websites I can use to find closing line odds? I use BetStamp for UFC and NFL, but struggled to find closing odds for other sports. So the software or website that I use to find 80% of my closing odds is TradeMate Sports. So if you go into Game Center, I'll show you on my screen. So let's just say you wanted to find the closing odds for today's game between Manchester United and City. Click there. And you go, all right, where did Pinnacle finish up? They closed at 675, as you can see here, for Manchester United. If you want to figure out what the true closing odds are, then let's just click Unibet and get to the point where it says 0%. There you go. So there are your true closing odds, the true probability of Manchester United winning that game today. So obviously, TradeMate, we support soccer, basketball, tennis, baseball, American football, ice hockey, rugby league, rugby union, CSGO, Dota. And then we have all these markets here, Draw No Bet, 1x2, Asian handicap totals, European handicap, first half, second half odds. So there you are, limited in that sense that it's not going to give you all the closing odds data. So if you're looking for like UFC, like you said, I use Odds Portal. So what I'll do, this is actually really cool information for you guys. Let's just go Odds Portal. Because the problem is then you've got to remove the margin. So you've got to find out what the true odds are. So let's just say MMA world. What was the, we'll go light heavyweight just for fun. Because of Adesanya fight yesterday, results. And these are the only, this is the only app that I've been able to find that gives really good closing odds. Because the problem with Betstamp is that they don't have football on there. I've never really used them, but they don't have soccer on there. That's all I know. Okay, so now we can see that on Pinnacle, Adesanya closed at 1.36 and Błachowicz closed at 3.29. Then to remove the VIG, this is what I do. It's probably not 100% accurate. I think this is what it's called, or margin. Here it is, yeah. The Pinnacle Margin Calculator. You then go onto here. So is it 1.36 and 3.29? God. And now this essentially calculates what the margin was on those odds. So it's saying a margin of 3.92 on those odds, and the fair price would have been a payout of 70.75%. And if you want to convert that to odds, this is my favorite. This is my favorite one to use. Sorry, I don't have it saved on my computer here. Odds decimal. Am I typing under pressure? Odds converter. Here we go. Couldn't think of what it was. So 70.75. I type that into here. So the true odds of Adesanya were 1.41. And for Jan, they were 3.42. So that's what I use, mate. Hopefully that answers your question. Yeah, and Sev said the same thing. Over the months you were using TradeMate to do your review, were you banned from any bookies? Oh, my review. Oh, okay. So like my journey, basically. Yeah, I was. I've been banned by probably like 5 to 10 bookies. 10-ish. 8 maybe bookies, I'd say, using TradeMate so far. So, yeah. How much was your worst downswing value betting? Well, let's have a look at my graph. And I might as well just show my results while everyone's here. My latest results. All right. Let's get it up there. So, my worst ever swing would have to be probably this one, mate, which was not too long ago. So I went from, I guess, over, I was up, how much was I up here? Only up a couple hundred dollars, swung down to, yeah, I remember this was a Saturday. I think I lost like $2,000 on a Saturday. That was just one day. So, yeah, that would be my, that's probably one of my worst swings. Just in one day, lost $2,000. That would have to be it. But yeah, hopefully that answers your question. Yeah, my bet. Here's Neil. All right, he's a good man to ask about stats. To find an edge, you need to find where the statistics are misleading. Bookies might be pricing something on averages, but you need to look at the context of the game. Maybe a player is out injured. Maybe a team plays better against certain tactical setup. Maybe their star striker had a dodgy kebab the night before. Yep, couldn't agree more. Great point from Neil there. Is it any free version of TradeMate Sport? Yeah, you get a free trial for a week. So that's your free version. Any plans to take cricket on board? Not at the moment, mate. The biggest thing for us, Gavin, is that it produces lots of trades. So last year when the pandemic hit and we contacted our odds providers, like, can we get some more sports into our software? They said, sure. What's the best one to bring in? For us, the best one to bring is the one that's going to produce the most amount of trades, and that was esports. So that was next cab off the rank. I'm not sure what's next cab off the rank, but and we just brought Dota back into the software too, because American football has a pretty long break now, so we've subbed Dota back in. For me, or for us, Dota was the next best to bring in because it produces the most amount of trades. So that's what our plans are always based upon. So I can't really guarantee with anything with cricket. The next sport that comes on board will be horse racing, hopefully. But that takes quite a bit of building in the software, so that might take some time. Neil, mate. Evening, Alex. How's it going, mate? It's great to have you along, Neil, mate. Just checking in, but the Spuds game is on, so I've been a bit distracted. The Spuds game. How are they going? How are the Spurs going? Send me some live updates, guys. Hopefully a nice little loss for the Spurs. Have you had any trouble withdrawing from any bookmaker? No. But one day I will. I can guarantee you that. Haven't had any problems so far. The only problems you get is that you ask to withdraw and then they ask you to verify yourself again and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so that's the only problem. Game Raiser says, which footy team do you support? So I support Arsenal, the Gold Coast Titans in rugby, and the Hurricanes in Super Rugby. There you go. I know I'm biased, but Kane scored the goal of the season so far. Oh, of course, mate, of course. All right, now we've got a bit of a break in questions. How good is this? I can actually show you guys some exciting stuff. So my latest results with TradeMate. Last time I spoke to you guys, I'll get up on my screen. Let me just take a swig of water. I've never talked this much in my life. So last time I spoke to you guys, I was, I think, like $200 up or $300 up with TradeMate after like 2,000 bets. So it would have been somewhere around here. And I told you guys that I'll get an upswing soon. And bloody hell did I. Basically, as soon as I stopped talking to you guys, finished that stream, went Zoom all the way up to 2.5K, and then the last like, 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks, I've been kind of bubbling around this kind of range, and then I've had a nice little upsurge again. So now I'm sitting at basically my highest point since I restarted my account at a nice little profit of $4,500 Australian dollars after 2,700 bets. I'm still below my EV, which I don't mind, because it means that the most likely scenario is that I go up in results. But yeah, very happy. Very happy. Finally, the variance monster, as good old Dan Shan likes to call it, the variance monster has saved me from... It's gone away for a while, let's just say that. And yeah, it's all looking good. So, like I always say, I think I ran some variance simulations last time you guys were on the stream too. And I think it was something like a 10% chance that I was achieving those results after 2000 trades. So I was very unlucky. But it just shows more trades equals more profits with TradeMate. So yeah, very, very happy. While you're here too, if you guys haven't already, if you can give the stream a like, that would be bloody, bloody fantastic. The biggest thing is you guys just keep sending in questions so we can keep this going. Sorry, Brian, I've already got to that question. So Tottenham are winning 3-1, are they? Disgusting, disgusting. What's your favorite A-League team, Nielsen? Mate, I don't have a favorite A-League team. I don't even watch it. It seems like more of you guys watch it than I do. But I guess if I had to support a team, it's Brisbane Roar because they're the closest team to me. But back in the day, if you've been a loyal A-League follower, back in the day, there's a team called Gold Coast United. And that was definitely my team. I went to a few of their games, actually. I was quite into it. So, yeah, Gold Coast United are still my team. Let's go with that. To keep your TradeMate account going, do you use friends' accounts? I've only used one friend's account so far, just because I've only just moved back to Australia and I haven't been limited. I'm using a lot of accounts that I used back in the day that weren't profitable. So they're just historically like bad accounts. So that's probably why I haven't been limited yet, and they'll last a long time for me. So yeah, I've only had to use one friend's account so far. Shane says some UK Euro sports books will mess you around with a pending withdrawal and will let it sit in your account pending for over 24 hours, hoping you will do a reverse withdrawal after a poor run. Yeah, great point. Matthias says, do you not bet on the A-League? No, I don't. I probably should, but then, so what would happen is, and it wouldn't look suspicious for me being from Australia, but if I did, then I would have to go inside TradeMate and go to all leagues. So then I would be having trades from all sorts of places around the world. And I don't really want that, because that would just be annoying to have to sift through and have to choose the A-League one. So no, mate, I do not bet on the A-League. I should, but I just am too lazy to sift through all the other trades. Is there any way to bypass location restrictions? I'm unable to access Pinnacle and various bookies outside the UK. Many don't have options to register for UK punters. I mean, the obvious one is using a VPN, but even if you're using a VPN, then you still need to be registered in that country in some form to be able to set up an account. So, yeah, and Shane said here, protect yourself and your accounts by using a private VPN, as bookies will look up your cookies and, yeah, see if you're looking at any other betting sites, exchanges. So bypassing location restrictions, VPN's the obvious source. So, yeah, but then I guess you're still going to have an address or like some kind of proof that you live in that country. Which in that case, you might have to use a friend, maybe, if you have a friend in another country. So, yeah. Guys, I'm pretty exhausted. I've never talked this much in my life. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about today was using accumulators or parlays, as some people call it, and multiples. So what I will do is I'll show you those results. So basically, I have been betting on low odds ranges and then putting them together as accumulators. So most of the time it's been under 4.5 odds. The edges have been 1%. And let's go 8 hours, recommended leagues. So let's have a look at those results. Yeah, So, okay, so generally, we don't recommend betting on accumulators because what happens is that, and what I'll do, I'll take you to my Twitter, is because it's a great example. Let me not share my screen here just in case something pops up. All right. So I shared this tweet a while ago. One sec, get it up on my screen. All right, so I put this tweet up about a week ago. So this is an accumulator that Sportsbet posted here. And so I thought, why don't I do the maths on how good or bad this accumulator was. So basically, guys put $1 on a 10-leg pick the round EPL multi to win $12,000. So I did the maths, which was a bit of fun. So let's just say this is the accumulator here. These are the odds he took, which accumulated to those odds here, 1,000 or 1,200, 384. But what were the true odds of this happening? So what were the closing odds of each event? So Wolves versus Leeds, he found the slightest bit of value. No value there, no value there, definitely no value there. Found value in the Fulham game, bet them at 215, they moved into 202. No value, found some decent value there again, Leicester. No value, no value, no value. So in out of 10 bets, this guy's beat the closing line 3 out of 10 times. So what happens in this circumstance is that because accumulators multiply all the odds together, his true odds is just getting worse and worse and worse. But if he let's just say he beat the closing line on 8 out of 10 of those or 7 out of 10, then he's accumulating true odds to the point where it's going to beat this number. I hope that makes sense to people. But in this case, because he didn't beat the closing line and placed 7 negative EV bets, they've multiplied together and his true odds of this accumulator were actually 29,000 to 1, whereas he only got odds of 12,000. So the only reason accumulators, the only way accumulators can work is if you're multiplying value bets together, which is what you do inside trade, mate. So I started doing this, and shout out to Neil, who gave me the idea of doing this. And I started doing this, you know, maybe 5 months ago. The reason I did it, which I think is a bit stupid, the reason I started was because I don't like losing bets that are like under 1.4 in odds. It just really pisses me off, which is stupid because it doesn't matter what the odds are. Value is value. It could be 1.3 in odds. It could be 3.0 in odds. It could be 1.05 in odds. If it's value, you should always bet on it. So it is a bit stupid that I just do it on low odds ranges, but at least my variance will be a lot lower and it's easier to stake, which is a bit hard to explain. I'm kind of going all over the place here, but we'll break it down a bit further soon. But as you can see, I have 7.6% ROI. I've made $2,200 on this strategy, and all I do is doubles and trebles, mostly doubles, like 95% of the time it's just doubles. And the good thing is the main bookmakers I use for this that produce value bets at low odds range, they actually give you an odds boost on multiple on accumulators. So because they know that accumulators are a really dumb thing to do, they give you an odds boost for doing them. So great. So let's just say I combine two 1.2 in odd bets together. they'll, whatever that multiplies to, they'll give me a little bit on top of that. So it makes it even more plus EV. So yeah, it's been working out really well, done 245 trades and well and truly in the green, obviously overperforming, but this closing EV is not accurate because it's only taking into account my like single bets. Sorry, camera's gone off. It's only taking into my single bet closing EV. So because I'm multiplying them together, this should be bigger. So, but I would, even if you, if this was the right closing EV, I would still be overperforming. So, but on top of this, the good thing is that I think it makes your accounts look dumb because bookmakers think accumulator betting is dumb, which it is for the most part. So the more accumulators you place, the dumber your accounts are going to look, the longer they are going to last. So that's the really great thing I found about accumulators. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh yeah, and the what I was going to say is the good thing about placing accumulators at low odds ranges is that it's a lot easier to stake with Kelly, because the bigger in odds you get, the less Kelly will recommend because it's bigger in odds. But most of the time I'm only betting at odds of like 1.5 to 1 to 1.9, something like that, on these accumulators, and having an edge of like 3%. So in that case, it's most of the time going to be a max bet situation. So what I do is I just always bet my max bet on these accumulators. Whereas if you were then combining bets of like 3.0 and 5.0, then it's really hard to work out your Kelly bet. So that's kind of the reason that I've just been sticking to these low odds ranges. And also people can't handle variance. So the lower the odds range, the less variance you're going to have, which is always nice. Got some more questions come through. Hey, Alex from Oliver. Personal question, but why did you move back to Australia? It's just I just like it more here, mate. Sunnier, beautiful. Just like it more here, basically. Not much of a city fella, so I like the beach lifestyle. So I'm only 100 meters from the beach here, so it's beautiful. Go there basically every second or third day, so it's beautiful. Gambling fan, would you consider yourself a successful sports bettor? Yeah, I would, because I'm winning. So yeah, I would. Matthias, what do you think of Bender Wins? Who the hell's Bender Wins? Is that a, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Are you talking about Style Bender? Or is that a bookmaker called Bender Wins? Or are you talking about B-Win? Is that what they're short for, Bender Wins? I had no idea. Clarify that for me, Matthias, and I'll get to you. Shane, anti-post accumulators can have value in outright markets, but generally stringing a few games on the weekend is negative expected value, so don't do it. Yeah, well, I mean, it's negative expected value if you don't beat the closing line. Can you give us an example of these two low odds multiply bets? Are they prop bets or combining two over? Yeah, okay, I'll give you an example. So I did a couple last night. The problem is I don't really want to show what bookmakers I'm using. So let's get rid of that. So I can think of an example. So yesterday, off the top of my head, I had Manchester United and Man City under 3.5 goals, which was at like 1.4 in odds. And I combined that with, I can't remember any of my bets because I bet too much. I won't share my screen and I'll actually get the right bet up for you. But the problem is that Okay, I'll be able to get this one actually. Yeah, one sec. I'm lost though, so it's not a great example. But I bet over 1.5 in Lugano versus Zurich, and that was at 143, or I think it was at 142. Yeah, 142 in odds. But because I got an odds boost, it took my odds up. So I got 143. And I multiplied that together with Manchester City United under 3.5 goals at 1.4 in odds. But because I got the odds boost, I took that up to 1.41. So there's an example for you, mate. What was your are these prop bets all combining two over under? Yeah, most of the time it's over under. I think that's just because of the bookmakers that I'm finding are giving lots of value on these lower odds ranges. Are these two particular bookmakers who I'm finding value in the over under markets with them, basically. So yes, most of the time it's over under markets. I think sometimes they're giving me value bets on draw no bet, and I think that's mostly where it is. So yeah. Mary said the Bender is on the hool this year. Mate, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Oh, he's a professional sports bettor from Canada. I'm sorry. I've never heard of him. Yeah, no idea. Craig says, like the background picture, Alex. Yeah, they were good times, mate, back in the day where Arsenal were going all right. They're still going all right now. They've been a bit unlucky, but yeah. Want some more success like that. Jim Hogan. Hi, Alex. Can you tell me how many daily trade notifications I could expect if I was on either TradeMate Pro or Core? Yeah, so notifications depends on a lot of things. How many bookmakers you use, your presets, activity doesn't really matter. You're just saying notifications. If you set your account up in the right way, you follow enough bookmakers, you should be able to get around 50 notifications. You would get hundreds. You would get hundreds, but that's not really realistic in terms of what you can place. So every day you'll easily be able to place 10 if you put enough time in. But yeah, you could get upwards of 50 a day. It depends on the day. If it's Saturday or Sunday. Back in the day when I was going pretty hard, I placed like 100 bets on a Saturday. But on a weekday, it's going to be less. So yeah, I think the best way of measuring it is by the week. So our most active customers place about 250-ish, 300, 400 trades a week. But our least active, maybe it's like 100 or something around that. It's always hard to tell, mate. Depends on bookmakers and so many other things like that. So yeah, hopefully that gives you a good estimation, Jim. Marius, what happened to Liverpool? Great question, mate. I don't watch them, so I'm not the person to ask, but very, very interesting, isn't it? It's good to see. It makes Marius a little less cheerful, so that's not good for me. Seb Ross, do you have to manually check the accumulated bets off in TradeMate once the results are in? Yeah, I do. So that's the worst thing about using accumulators with TradeMate is that you'll get they'll automatically settle for you. So like win or loss, but the problem is that you'll have to adjust the stake. So if one of them wins, one of them loses, then you'll have to go in and settle the other one as a loser. But if it wins, then you'll also have to go in and adjust the staking so that you've won the right amount, so you win more than what it actually comes up with. So yes, that's the only problem. But I think overall it's 100% worth it, because One, it accumulates your bets together to make even more plus EV. And two, makes your accounts look dumb, which is bloody brilliant. Keeps you around longer. Shane says, I bet Aubameyang to be top Premier League goal scorer. Obviously, he's doing horrendous, not played as out and out striker. Thanks for your low double bet examples. The thing is, Aubameyang hasn't really played as an out and out striker for much of his Arsenal career. I reckon it's been about 50-50 that he's played off the left. So I don't think that really matters. It's mostly just been the fact that he's played poorly because Arsenal have played poorly. So he's just like your typical player who's always going to struggle when Arsenal struggle, because if you give Aubameyang goal scoring chances, he will become the top goal scorer, or at least get very, very close to that in the league, like he has for a number of seasons. But if you don't give him goal scoring chances, then he's completely useless. He's not going to do a Kane? Kane's very skillful in so many areas and can kind of create his own chances. Aubameyang can't really do that as much. He's just a finish. He's just a superb finisher. So, yeah. Will there be more episodes when you tell the story of a successful? I don't really know what you mean. I don't even know how to say your name, but. Oh, do you want me to, you mean, will there be more episodes of those? There have been heaps of episodes. I've done like 10 of them or something like that of running through the lives of professional sports bettors like Tony Bloom and Benham and Bill Benter and all them. So, yeah, on the Trademate channel, check them out. Jim says, thanks. Awesome. Great to be around, Jim. Thank you. And, yeah, there's a dig at Van Dijk. Do you see sports betting as a second source of income from gambling fan? For me at the moment, yes. Yes, I do. It's a bloody good second source of income, but it's also just fun. It's lots of fun. So, yeah. Guys, I reckon I'm absolutely cooked. I'm not good at talking for long periods of time. So I was going to go through today. I was going to talk a bit of arbitrage betting. I was going to talk about betting exchange with TradeMate. But I'm absolutely cooked and I'm not going to be able to give you guys 100% effort because I suck at talking for long periods of time. So what I will do is we'll save it for a rainy day. We'll save it for another month, another Sunday. Maybe next Sunday if things don't go to plan with this marketing officer from Parry Match. But if not, we will get to this one day. The whole arbing and betting exchanges stuff that I want to talk about. But I think I'm going to have to call it a day now. Send in your last minute questions. But if not, please give me a like. Give the video a like. This has been lots of fun. I'm surprised by how many people have joined in. It's been terrific. I love it. It's awesome. So yeah. No, cheers. Cheers to you, Neil, for sticking around, mate. Don't know why you're listening to me, mate. You got better people to listen to than me. But no, it's great to have Neil around. Neil's a great mind, so listen to everything he says. But this has been awesome, guys. I've really enjoyed this. Thanks for sticking around. And I'm really looking forward to this being a regular Sunday thing. So book it into your calendar every Sunday at 8 o'clock UK time, 9 p.m. European time. I'll just, Matthias, it feels like the value in odds are more and more creeping to the under bets as people over bet the overs because they want games to be entertaining. Yeah, I mean, I would assume that if you looked at everything as soon as COVID started, the unders are getting up more, especially in those, you know, big six games. But you would think that most of the time, if you, let's just say, every soccer game you've bet the unders, since COVID, you'd probably be profitable, probably. But that's a guess. Definitely in the Premier League you would be, I would guess, yeah. So, good point. Loving the love, guys. Gavin says thanks. Thank you, mate, for all the questions. Thanks for all the questions, Shane. You've been a great addition today. Gambling fan, do you have an opinion on Wager Talk? What's Wager Talk? I've heard of them. I'll just look them up. Are they a... Oh, are they tipsters? I mean, my thoughts on any tipsters are 99% of the time, maybe a little bit less, they're not going to be good. But there are good ones out there. And the only way, and what I did a video on them. Sharpest Minds in Vegas. Okay. What I would do is I would see if they're betting the closing line. And that's probably the easiest way to figure out if they're good tipsters. And you need a big sample size. Because like I said, I did a video on the tipster stuff a couple of weeks ago. Go and watch that. It's great. If you are a losing sports bettor over 2,000 bets, you can still win money. So let me... You know what? You guys have tempted me too much. I'm gonna show you guys what I mean. I feel like I've said goodbye about 20 times. I'll show you guys what I mean. Okay. So let's say you got a starting bankroll of $10,000 to make it easy. Your average odds is 2.0. You have a negative ROI, so you have a negative edge against the market. Over 5,000 bets, what are the chances of losing? It doesn't really matter. I just want to see what the chances of losing at the end are. So chances of loss after 500 bets are 67%. Let's just do it a few times. Yeah, around that 67% mark. So you can. This is with a losing strategy. So you've got a negative closing EV of negative 1%. Let's go to 1,500. But chances of... Oh, fuck. Sorry. I've typed it into the wrong thing. Okay, 1,500 bets with a negative ROI of 1%. Your chances of loss at the end are 78%. Still a 22% chance of winning after that amount of bets. For me, that's ridiculous. 2,500 bets. It's just getting tougher and tougher. So what I'm trying to say here is that 2,500 bets is it's a lot of bets, a lot of bets. And you could have a negative ROI of 1%, like a negative closing EV of 1%, which means that your strategy is a loser. But after this amount of bets, 17% of people are profitable. So for me, that's bloody crazy. So with tipsters, the main thing is you need them to be beating the closing line in whatever sport they're tipping for. That's the biggest thing for me. I don't know anything about wager talk, so I couldn't tell you. But for all the tipsters that I follow, I make sure that they're beating the closing EV consistently over a decent sample size. If they're not, then I'll stop following them. But the thing is, like, I wouldn't start following them unless I'd seen that they are beating the closing line already over a couple hundred bets. So, yeah, got to do your research. Donnie Brasco says, do you play poker? No, I don't, mate. Shane says, oh, yeah, you guys are explaining wager talk to me. Yeah, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure. Dan Kirk, does Jonas crush the MMA markets? I would assume so. I mean, I can't really talk about what he does, but yeah. I mean, crush. What do you mean by crush? He's winning. Let's just say Jonas is winning. Also, thanks for the tips from yesterday's card. Another winning night. I mean, now that you're all here and listening, if you guys aren't watching the MMA preview, the UFC previews we do, I think you're a bit silly because they're good. They're sharp. Ryan is fucking good at what he does. Jonas is good, a great addition too, because he comes from a different angle, if you get what I mean, like from the sense that he's been a professional sports bettor for so many years. He understands the markets and he loves MMA and UFC. So when you love something and you've got the mindset of Jonas, then it's always going to be very interesting. So if there's one tip I can give you, I would be following those previews, because they're very, very good stuff and they don't get enough views, in my opinion. Or they don't get the views that they warrant. And yeah, let's call it a day. Please like the stream. It would be terrific if you could like this stream. If you don't already, subscribe to the channel. It's been a brilliant Sunday streams, episode one. I've really enjoyed this. I'm surprised by how many of you guys are tuned in, and the questions have been bloody brilliant. So I'm looking forward to this being a regular thing every Sunday night. And next week, as I said, we will have the Parry Match Chief Marketing Officer coming on to, fire some questions at him. You guys can ask some questions. Should be lots of fun. So I'm really looking forward to this every Sunday. See you guys next week. Cheers.